Couple of comments before we go right to your questions. And by the way, your question on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. The first comment revolves around a letter that I got from a man named Jimmy. I want to share that letter with you because it's tangible evidence for how a ministry like this impacts lives on a daily basis. This is heartrending. Jimmy writes, "Hi, Hank. I want to say if it hadn't been for you and the Bible Answer Man radio broadcast on XM170, I would not be alive today to write you this letter. I was listening to your broadcast a while back when a caller was about to take his own life. Hank, I too have had these feelings. And on that day especially had those feelings. Listening to you tell the caller that our lives are not our own to take, that they belong to God is what I needed to hear. And so I begged God to help me. And at that moment, it was as though I could hear a voice telling me to listen to what you had to say. I do listen to you, Hank. I know that you are a chosen messenger from God. I have sometimes said that while listening to you on the radio, this man is not of this world, he is sent from God. No one I have ever listened to anywhere explains the Bible more clearly than you. I have said, what would the world be like without men and women like yourself sent from God to tell the truth of who Jesus really is? You've helped me in more ways than I could ever say in words, and for this I am eternally grateful for helping to turn my life back to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Hank. I love you dearly for what you do. May God bless you and your family and your ministry." Now, just a couple of comments. One is the most obvious. Here's a man that was listening to the broadcast and as a result did not commit suicide. But more than that, I am no one special. We are all sent by God. The question is, are we going to be faithful to our gifts and calling? Because just as the Lord used me as an instrument of His grace through this broadcast, God can use you as an instrument of His grace in the life of another person. And then I want to say this. For every commendation, for every compliment, with every thank you that I get from people like Jimmy, my thanks goes back to those that support this ministry, because we would not have a public forum, an opportunity to reach people like Jimmy, without people like you. You are the facilitator. You give us the opportunity to be an instrument of the grace of God in the lives of millions of people on a daily basis. Now, not everything we say in this broadcast is politically correct. I remember when Paul Crouch of the Trinity Broadcasting Network said, "If God doesn't kill you, I will." Because we were speaking out against false teachers in the faith movement. I still remember that day clearly because I had spoken out against Earl Polk. Of course, Earl Polk had a huge church. It was called the Cathedral at Chapel Hill in Decatur, Georgia. And at the time, he had some 10,000 members. And people were saying that this is an anointed man of God. And I criticized him because he said, just as cats have kittens and dogs have puppies, so God has little gods. And then overtly talked about the fact that we have the very same nature as God. We're not reflections of God's communicable attributes, but we are reproductions of God, ontologically equal to God, the same in nature as our Creator. So dogs beget puppies, gods beget little gods with the same nature as God. And so I spoke out against that. And for that, the wrath of many evangelicals came down on my head. Well, let's fast forward from 1993 to the present. We're now in 2009. Earl Polk is dead. And now his church is being sold. And his nephew, he was raised as Earl Polk's nephew at least, in reality was Earl Polk's son by an affair he had with his brother's wife, now leads this church. And he embraces universalism. He affirms the gay lifestyle, and last year said that the church's evolving mission was to be radically inclusive. Now, these aren't my words. This is Charisma Magazine itself and their news briefs talking about Earl Polk. Now, I've never talked about his morals or his ethics, and I'm not going to start now. But I will say this, ideas have consequences. And the false teachings of Earl Polk have led literally thousands of people astray. And I knew many of them because I used to live in Georgia. And it is because of false teachings that they destroy the lives of people that we speak out against false doctrine. I just did a radio broadcast on another series of stations about an hour ago, and I talked about the reality that if people dispense physical cyanide, even if it's in a great product, the prudent thing to do is to warn against the product that has the cyanide in it, like was true with the Tylenol scare many years ago. The product was identified and taken off the shelf. But today, people are dispensing spiritual cyanide by the megadose. And for some odd reason, we're told not to identify them. Again, I'm not talking about the morals or ethics. I'm talking about doctrines that have huge consequences in the lives of real people. Like the man that called me on this broadcast this year and told me that his mother had died as a result of denying symptoms because she was taught by her pastor that symptoms, in her case it was a lump in the breast, are ploys of the devil designed to steal our guaranteed wellness. And so she denied the symptoms until her breast became a weeping sore, and she died. Ideas have consequences. Or Joel Osteen, who's telling people that faith is a force and words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith you create your own reality. So what you say is what you get, which is just repackaged New Thought metaphysics for Christian consumption. Sounds strikingly like Rhonda Byrne with her bestseller, The Secret, saying that the law of attraction is the secret to the universe. In fact, it opens the catalog of the universe. So if you think the right thoughts, you will get what you want. If you think wrong thoughts, you're going to attract the dark side of the force. And so she and her contributors talk about people that have done just that. The Jews brought the Holocaust on themselves by their thoughts. Jessica Lunsford was raped and murdered because of her thoughts, which attracted this horror to herself. Now, we're usually not told about the dark underbelly of the theology, but there always is one. That's why I wrote Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, because today the teachers that had small platforms, if you want to call a 10,000-seat auditorium small, or a 6,000-seat auditorium with 10,000 members small, and today you have Joel Osteen, makes Earl Polk look small by comparison, but his teachings, beware of that smile, are just as deadly. Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. If you haven't read it, it's a must. It's available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. 100% of the proceeds go to forwarding this ministry.